Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for January 12, 2016. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Javier Maeso about how two Qi protein-coupled receptors work together as a heteromer. Qi protein-coupled receptors, or GPCRs, are transmembrane proteins that bind to ligands located outside of the cell. Ligand binding induces a conformational change in the GPCR that causes the G protein that's coupled to it inside of the cell to dissociate from the receptor, and that transduces signaling intracellularly. Although some GPCRs function alone as monomers, some function as homodimers or heterodimers or even in higher order complexes. But how GPCRs work together is not very clear. For example, it's not known whether ligand binding to only one member of a dimer can induce an activating conformational change in its partner. Two GPCRs that can work together in a heteromeric complex are the serotonin receptor 5-HT2A and the metabotropic glutamate receptor MGLU2. Both of these receptors have been linked to psychiatric disorders like schizophrenia and to the action of some antipsychotic drugs. These receptors bind to different ligands, and they're coupled to different intracellular G proteins. In a study published this week in Science Signaling, a group led by Javier González Maeso and Javier Mina reports that ligand binding to MGLU2 induces signaling through the G protein that's coupled to 5-HT2A, implying that indeed ligand binding to only one member of a heteromer can cause its partner to transduce signaling intracellularly. Javier Maeso spoke to me from the Virginia Commonwealth University School of Medicine in Richmond. Hello, Dr. Maeso. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you for the call.
Before this current work that you've done, what was known about how GPCRs work together as homodimers or as heterodimers?
So it's been shown already that family A may form homodimers in living cells, although in a synthetic system like a nanodisc, again, for family A, we know that they function as monomers. So they activate the G protein as monomers. For family C, it's been shown that they need to be homodimers to activate G proteins. And in our system, in the topic we're interested in, the serotonin 2A and GRUBR2 heterocomplex, we showed already that they form an heterocomplex or a heterodimer. And what we didn't know is the mechanism of how these receptors crosstalk.
The two GPCRs that you looked at in this study are MGLU2 and 5-HT2A. Both of these receptors function in neurons, but they bind to different ligands. How do these receptors differ in the type of intracellular signaling that they initiate and in the biological outcome of the signaling?
Well, they are both GPCRs, G protein coupled receptors, and they couple to activate heterotrimeric G proteins. The serotonin 2 receptor is coupled to and activates TQ proteins, and these TQ proteins activate phospholipase. And one of the functions of these pathways is to release calcium from the endoplasmic reticulum to the cytoplasm. The other half, if you wish, of the heterocomplex is coupled to GIG proteins. These G proteins inhibit the production of cyclic AMP from ATP. The serotonin 2 receptor is target of drugs such as LSD or mescaline. They are psychedelic drugs. And it is also target, one of the targets of drugs that are used in the treatment of psychiatric disorders such as schizophrenia. For example, it's a main target of clozapine, olanzapine, or risperidone. And then NGLU2 is a target of a new family of drugs that they were designed to treat also schizophrenia.
Do MGLU2 and 5-HT2A always function together as heterodimers, or do they also function separately on their own?
They do function on their own. I mean, they do function as homomers. Actually, one of the findings in this paper is that we saw that serotonin 2A by itself is able to form homomers or homodimers. What we don't know is the level of higher-order oligomerization of this serotonin 2A receptor. I mean, again, we saw that it is able to form at least homodimers. For the NGRUBR2, it's a family C GPCR, and we know that they function as a strict homodimers. So they have to be homodimers to activate G proteins. In this manuscript, what we investigated is how activation of the NGRUBR2 homodimer transactivates the serotonin 2A homomer. So the mechanism of crosstalk between the NGLAR2 and the serotonin 2A receptor.
And so in this paper, then, you've shown that ligand binding to MGLU2 causes activation of the G proteins that are coupled to 5-HT2A, the serotonin receptor. How did you show that?
So using like living cells, we measure intracellular calcium. We know that activation of GQ proteins induces the release of calcium from the endoplasmic reticulum. So here we show that activation of the NGLUR2, which as I mentioned before is coupled to GIG proteins, not to GQG proteins, induces a calcium release in cells that co-express both the NGLUR2 and the serotonin 2A. We also use the chimeric constructs or constructs that form or do not form the receptor complex between the serotonin 2A and the NGLUR2 receptors, and using this approach, we show that the release of calcium from the endoplasmic reticulum in the presence of drugs that activate the NGLUR2 receptor need the telomeric complex. So this is like a mechanistic explanation of how activation of the NGLUR2 induces this pathway in cells that co-express both the NGLUR2 and the serotonin 2A receptors.
So essentially, when those two receptors are present together, ligand binding to MGLU2 will activate the G proteins that are coupled to the serotonin receptor.
This is actually very interesting. It's one of the main findings of this study. And actually, we saw that coupling to an activation of GIG proteins is necessary for the effect induced by the NGLUR2 agonist via this telomere. In other words, the NGLUR2 needs to couple to and activate G proteins in order to transactivate the serotonin 2A component of this serotonin 2A NGLUR2 telomere. And this transactivation between the NGLUR2 and the serotonin 2A leads to G coupling and consequently a calcium release from the endoplasmic reticulum.
Using various mutant forms of these receptors, you did some other experiments that were informative about how this heterodimer functions. What else did you find?
Well, we knew, it was shown already by other labs and also by us, that the NGLUR2 receptors function as a strict homodimers. They have to be homodimers, as I mentioned before. So based on this, and as I mentioned about how we saw that GI coupling to the NGLUR2 is necessary for the crosstalk between NGLUR2 and serotonin 2A, one of the questions that we had was about the relative location of the two NGLUR2 receptors or NGLUR2 protomers within the NGLUR2 homodimer. Which one of those two components of the NGLUR2 homodimer needs to couple to GI in order to transactivate the serotonin 2A receptor. So to solve this, we inserted different mutations at different locations of the NGLUR2 receptor. So using three groups of mutations, the ligand binding site, the intracellular loop that is involved in receptor G protein coupling, and one of the transmembrane domains that is necessary to form the hetero complex with the serotonin 2A, we found that GI coupling to the NGLUR2 protomer that is located distantly, in other words, that it doesn't touch directly the serotonin 2A receptor, is necessary to induce calcium release. So we saw that the NGLUR2 protomer that doesn't interact directly with the serotonin 2A receptor is the one that needs to couple GI in order to crosstalk or to transactivate the serotonin 2A receptor. And I think this is a very interesting mechanism of how this crosstalk between the NGLUR2 and the serotonin 2A receptors occurs.
Both of these receptors are implicated in psychiatric disorders and in the response to psychoactive drugs. Do your findings explain how these receptors cooperate to affect behavior or to affect the response to drugs?
Well, in this manuscript, the findings are very basic. We saw using biophysical approaches explanations of how this crosstalk occurs. About the significance of these findings in animal models, this is work in progress in our lab. But we think that this receptor complex, the serotonin 2A, NGLUR2, heteromeric complex, is necessary for, let's say, at least some, not all, but some of the behavioral responses that are induced by drugs that target either the serotonin 2A receptor, such as clozapin, an antipsychotic drug, or the NGLUR2 receptor in mouse models. For example, inducing models of psychosis in mice, those models can be prevented by clozapin, but some of those effects with drugs that target the serotonin 2A need the expression of the NGRA2 receptor in mouse frontal cortex. So we think that there's crosstalk via this heteromeric complex that affects the behavior in animal models.
Do you think any of these findings about how mGluR2 and the serotonin receptor 5-HT2A cooperate are likely to apply to other GPCRs that function as heterodimers? Is there anything about this that might be generalizable?
I think it's going to give us like an experimental tool of how to investigate whether this mechanism that we propose for this particular heteromer also occurs in other GPCR heteromers. But frankly, we don't know that yet. I mean, that's a work in progress. We're interested in other heteromers that have been involved, especially in psychiatric disorders. But we haven't tested yet whether this particular model that we propose also occurs in other groups of GPCR heteromers.
Dr. Maesa, thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you too for your questions.
That was Javier Maeso discussing a paper published in the December 22nd issue of Science Signaling by Moreno and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and thanks for listening.